Welcome to the High Kind. Before we start the show, I'm just going to give a little introductory to give our solidarity to stand with the Asian American community. We're all heartbroken and devastated by the massacre that happened this week. And I am not going to do the disservice of butchering all these women and the man's name who were murdered by misogynistic piece of shit that they got murdered by. But their names are all over the internet. I'm looking at a Times Article magazine right now that gives all their names and who they were. And it looks really good if you want to check it out. It was 7 women and 1 man. And I just want to let all of our friends and listeners know that we're saddened and disgusted over this, and we fight every day to make this a better world for everybody to be in.
Yep. At the very least, you can just laugh at us being high and stupid. So if that makes your day better, then do that.
Yeah, if it just helps you forget like the fucked up world for just a moment, just enjoy the show.
Enjoy the ride.
Yeah.
We try to keep
your hands and feet inside the vehicle at all times.
Yes. Yes. That is the life lesson to take away.
Out the video, Andy.
No, he hasn't figured out the video.
I don't think it's gonna work.
The cool thing is I can hear the echo of my voice from her microphone, so I kind of have that.
That's fun, isn't it?
God thing going on. It's great. It's kind of looped back from callback from earlier. Voice of God.
It is nice being over here. It's much easier. Everything's much more clear over here. I like it.
You're not taking it over.
My office. He finally just built his office. Okay, this is like my office now, bitch.
There's this really nice leather chair that I'm sitting, just like melting into. It's kind of, it's kind of perfect. I think I found my place in this world.
Found her.
Thank you, ma'am.
That one's fine. You can't have that one too.
Well.
Boundaries. I have. How big is that area? You'd say like 5 by 6?
5 by 5.
5 by 5. I have a 5 by 5 area that is
5 by 5.
That's in the 5 by 5. That's my only area. Okay, that's only mine. No one else.
So tonight we're going to do a story about a man named Charles Walton. Have any of you heard of Charles Walton?
I have not.
No. Walton sounds familiar, but that could be from anywhere.
This was just kind of going down a rabbit hole myself of just weird paranormal murders after we did the Henry McCabe episode. And I kind of stumbled on this one and I was just like, it was really interesting. So I decided, why not talk about what happened to Charles Walton on February 14th, 1945. But Charles Walton lived in a native small village called Lower Quinton in England. It was like, basically, I don't know the geography of that right now, but I'm going to take it's like a small little village, as they said. But on that day, Charles gathered his tools for an agriculture job in an area called the Furs. And later on that day, they found his body in a gruesome fashion. One of the sources that kind of led me on this was True Crime Library, and they kind of give a good summary of the events in short form, but we're going to go in a little more detail. In Lower Quinton, they'll tell you that Charles Walton, a 74-year-old local hedger, was killed by witchcraft. The year was 1945, when most people would think witches were long gone. A search party went looking for Charles, and when he didn't come home from a hedging job on February 14th, they found him in Meon hill. He was pinned to the ground by his hay fork, its prongs passing through each side of his neck. His throat and chest were slashed with a billhook, inflicting deep gashes in the form of a cross, and the murder weapon was embedded in one of the wounds. Cuts on his arm showed that he tried to defend himself, and on his face was a haunting look of terror. So, dude got stabbed by a pitchfork and then cut up after.
Damn.
Yeah. It's a fucking intense way to go. But they called in the detective chief, Inspector Robert Fabian of Scotland Yard, and he learned that in 1975, at a nearby Longcompton, the young man killed an old woman who he believed had bewitched him, dispatching her with a hay fork in a similar manner to the killing of Charles Walton. So this was at least over 70 years, if my math was 60 to 70 years before.
Between and somebody was, murders.
Yeah, between the two murders.
Did they have the same, did the first person have the same cross symbol?
They didn't say that, somewhere? But it just said it was a similar murder. But the killer at the time was, that killed this old woman was named John Haywood, and he had sworn to destroy all 16 Longcompton witches. His method of was a survival of the Anglo-Saxon practice with dealing with witches by spiking them. Fabian was also told about an unnerving experience of a plowboy from Alveston, also close by, in 1985. On 9 successive evenings, the boy encountered a black dog, a symbol of witchcraft, on Meon Hill. And on the last occasion, the dog turned into a headless woman who rustled past him in a black dress. And the next day, the boy's sister died. And here's something that threw me through a loop. The boy's name was Charles Walton.
And when
are they related?
There's a myth that he is related. No, but I see some people saying no, they're not the same one. And I see some people saying, yeah, they're the same one. So I'm trying to figure out if they're the same one. But this comes from Mysterious Universe, and this is kind of a little background of what happened that day. The tale begins with a 74-year-old farm laborer by the name Charles Walton, who had worked in the area his entire life, managing to continue with his agriculture job despite his health declining with the onset of severe arthritis. I read that in another place that he was using a cane, or that he was using almost crutches, but he was still going to work, doing agriculture work.
That's hardcore.
Yeah, that's hardcore shit. Walton already had a mysteriousness floating around him in his life, as it was said that he was almost had a supernatural affinity for bonding and communicating with animals. Some said that the wild birds would flock to him, and he was not said to not be able to tame the wildest of horses, but also have the ability to calm angry or rabid dogs. And although Walton was a loner and recluse, rarely interacting with other people except his niece, Edith Isabel Walton, who he had adopted long ago and lived with cordially. Now, he had spent the last 9 months working at this local farm, and the person that owned the farm was named Alfred Potter, and we're going to talk a little bit about him later, whose property was known as the Ferns. On this day, Walton had gone out to work just like any other, leaving home with his pitchfork and pruning instrument called a slash hook. So it sounds like they killed him with his own shit, slash hook. And he was going to do a bit of trimming, he said. And witnesses would later confirm that he'd gone out there around 9 a.m. in the morning. Later that evening, his niece returned around 6 p.m. to find no one there, even though her uncle should have been home long before then. Having never returned much after 4, worried, she notified a neighbor named Harry Beasley, and the two went off to the Firs to look for him. They ran into the owner of the farm property, Alfred Potter, who acknowledged that the Waltons had indeed been working that day on a place called Meon Hill, and he joined them to search for the missing man, and what they found would shock and disgust them. There, among the hedges, he had been working was a dead body of Charles Walton. It was in quite the state. His pitchfork, its handle broken off, had been stabbed through his neck to pin him to the ground with great force, and the slash hook had been used to open up his throat, where it remained embedded among a sludge of blood. He also seemed to have been beaten around the head with his own walking stick, but most bizarre was that the apparent crucifix etched into his chest. The only thing that seemed to be missing from Walton's person was a small silver watch described as being in cheap quality and relatively worthless. This grisly scene had them contacting the police as soon as they could, and thus this how this mystery unfolds. At first, the investigation was handled by a superintendent named Alex Spooner, who uncovered disturbing and very strange past murders of the area. Which we talked about earlier, but this is where I got the information. The woman's name was Ann Tennant, and she was killed just like him. Tennant's body had been pinned to the ground with the pitchfork, and a cross had been also cut into her chest. So, yes, a cross was also cut into her chest, too, according to this source. So the murders are almost identical. But Spooner also saw that they had the connect the same dots with like the Ann Tennant murder and that, and he started studying folklore and he read more about these rabid black dogs, the spectral black dogs, rabid dogs, whatever, and the Charles Walton story of like the little kid that saw these. He also went into local legends about Meon Hill, and it was steeped in dark tales of witchcraft. The hills apparently had long been surrounded by tales of the occult and dark magic rituals going all the way back to the days of the Celts. And it seemed as if the sightings of the ghostly black dogs had been very common in this area. Spooner began to wonder if there was something more paranormal in nature going on, and if Walton had been murdered because someone had thought of him as a practitioner of witchcraft. This is all information that Spooner would pass on to the detectives of Scotland Yard, Robert Fabian, giving them the evidence, a book called Folklore, Old Custom, and Superstition in Shakespearean Land, which held all these outlandish tales. But the detectives tended to believe they were just dealing with just typical murder, and that's where there's a lot of speculation about Albert Potter. They said on the night of the murder that Potter's behavior did not appear to be that of an innocent man, and when the first constable arrived at 7:05 p.m. he noted that Potter seemed very upset. He was shivering and complained about being cold. Looking back, I think that Potter appeared more worried than one might expected him to be. After all, the constable reasoned, Potter was used to slaughtering animals and might be less moved by the murder scene than other men. So they're insinuating that Alfred Potter could have potentially murdered him. A couple of days later, Potter said he would have gone to see Walton at Hillground on the 14th of February were it not for the fact that he had a heifer in a ditch that he needed to attend to. He claimed that he'd gone straight home, arriving there at 12:40, and then went to attend to the cow. However, the heifer was found to have drowned in Doomsday's Ditch, that's quite ominous, on February 13th, it was not removed from the furs on the 14th, as Alfred Potter had said.
I wonder if Doomsday's Ditch is the moat around Mount Doom.
I don't know.
God. I went like DC in my head, and like Darks. No, wasn't there? Oh no, yeah, Doomsday. Wasn't Doomsday the one that killed Superman?
Yeah, he was.
Yeah. Doomsday's Ditch. That's like a restaurant. That's what happened afterwards. He opened up a restaurant.
He started a restaurant. Doomsday's Ditch.
Flipping burgers. It's like a diner, but it was like a dive bar at the same time. Diner dive bar. Doomsday's Ditch. And that's what he does now. He's, you know, he shows up on those Where Are They Now things on, you know, VH1 or whatever. Does VH1 still exist?
Yes, it still exists.
Okay. Sorry, developing, you know.
Developing this a treatment.
Oh, a story. What the hell?
A treatment.
Treatment. Treatment?
A screenplay. A story. For.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that sounds good. We'll use that word. A treatment.
Okay.
But probably need one of those.
Yes. Potter's statements about seeing Walt at work invariably said he was in his shirt sleeves. However, when his body was found, he was wearing a jacket, and underneath this jacket, he was wearing a shirt, but the sleeves were cut off from the elbow. Thus, Potter could not have seen Walter in shirt sleeves in Fabian's view. Even if Potter had merely seen Walton with his jacket off, it seemed improbable he had worked in shirt sleeves at around 12:20 and then put his jacket on unless he decided to go home. So a lot of people are speculating that it's Alfred Potter. There was rumors that Charles Walton owed Alfred Potter money, but this can't be proven or disproven, so I'm not sure. Now, we're going to talk about Meon Hill, where Charles' body was found, and it had, you know, the reports of the black dogs. It was supposedly close to a small area where druids used to gather around stones, and it just steeped in witchcraft and stuff like that. And here's one of the folklores I found just researching. And there's a number of accounts of folklore, including tales of a strange booming sound heard in the vicinity of the village. The source of this noise was reputed to be a ghostly creature dubbed by the locals as the Mickleton Hooter. Why would you call a fucking a ghost a hooter?
Doomsday's Ditch and the Mickleton Hooter.
In the Mickleton Hooter.
It worked there.
Which was reputed and speculated to roam near Meon Hill. And some folklorists have associated it with the Dun Cow, a monstrous red-eyed beast which wreaks havoc around Dunsmore Heath until it was killed by Guy, Earl of Warwick. The name Hooter is ambiguous. It could refer to the noise the creature made. However, Hooter is also Old Yorkshire word for a ghostly hound. Dun Cow, Hooter.
Dun Cow's the busboy.
Yeah.
Hooter's the waitress.
Yeah.
Doomsday's in the back flipping burgers. It's kind of like Bob's Burgers at this point, but
yeah.
I'm going with it.
Now, a little more on the Phantom Dogs. The Phantom Dogs have been reported to help lost travelers, but others have more sinister reputation as portents of doom or the devil in disguise as part of his pack of hunting down the souls of sinners. Stories of hounds on a wild hunt appears in British and European folklore. In early tales, the hunt was led by a deity or a mythical. We talked about the wild hunt before, so. Now, this is more than this from the BBC, and they said that the area is surrounded by strange tales for many centuries and concerning ancient hauntings and devilish deeds. One legend has, in the 8th century, that the devil kicked a boulder from the top of the hill intended to smash the recently built Evesham Abbey. The legend tells that his angry deed was thwarted by locals praying, and the stone instead fell on Cleve Hill outside another town, I guess. And then there's tales of a carved stone in the shape of a cross to rid the area of the devil's touch. Yeah. Now, let's talk about Anne Tennant for a minute. And Haywood, who killed her, John Haywood, claimed that Anne was a witch and that there were other witches in the village whom he intended to deal with in the same way. And although committed to trial for murder, he was found not guilty on the grounds of insanity. And he spent the rest of his life in a lunatic asylum. And he is recorded as dying there at the age of 59 in the first half of 1890. And the black dogs, that seems to be a big focus of like what people see. People still claim to see them. And this is another, I can't find if there's proof of this or not, or if it's just another myth, but it was claimed soon after Walton was murdered, a black dog was found hanging from a tree close to the murder scene. And while the chief investigator himself wrote that he encountered a black dog while walking at dusk on Meon Hill, the dog ran past him shortly afterwards. He had met a local boy walking in the same direction. He asked the boy if he was looking for his dog, but when Fabian mentioned the animal's color, the boy turned a deathly pale and fled in the opposite direction. So apparently the chief inspector of all this also saw a black dog.
So what is there something like weird or special about these black dogs?
They speculate that it is a sign of witchcraft. Then that's proof that the ground is haunted. Just because it's a black dog. I don't know. So if England has black dogs, why do we have black cats?
Yeah,
That's where my mind went.
I don't know.
What part of where did you say this was?
This is in Warwickshire in England. And people claim that when the Charles Walton of the late 1800s and his sister died, they claimed that black dogs were around then too. And a lot of people apparently refused to talk to this chief inspector, that they didn't want any part of it, that they would avoid him when he would walk into a pub.
Why? Just because he had seen the dogs?
No, just because they didn't think, I guess, him, you know, dredging up all this stuff about witchcraft and hauntings and the devil kind of spooked them, or that they were covering something up.
Yeah. I mean, of course there could be witchcraft or something going on in the town. I just don't know. I mean, whatever. Animals are associated with so much shit. I guess it could be possible, but it could also be possible that there was just witchcraft going on and the dogs didn't have anything to do with anything.
Yeah.
You know, they were just dogs.
Yeah, maybe.
So.
Well, but why are there so many goddamn black dogs just wandering the fucking hills of this small village?
Hellhounds.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like a demon hangout.
Yeah.
Making deals and shit.
Like...
Crossroad demons. Supernatural.
Yeah, I was going to say it needs to be like part of a Supernatural episode.
They send hellhounds after people that don't pay up on their debt.
Yeah, now this is an interesting little tidbit. Apparently the police also found another similarity between the event of Anna Tennant and Charles Walton's murder. But the police have found that the link between the killings, but pledge not to reveal it. So they found a link in these two cases, and they're not going to tell us what it is. And one of the reasons why people speculated that was that Charles Walton and Anne Tennant were related. And Charles Walton had a first cousin twice removed named John Haynes. In December, John Haynes married Sarah Cook, whose first cousin once removed was Elizabeth Quentin, the wife of Joseph Tennant, and Anne Tennant's eldest son, so that they were like distant cousins. That's interesting. I wonder if this is just where my brain would go with it. If he was part of that little tribe of 16 witches that the Haywood guy said that he was going to get rid of. And somebody else in the village decided to finish John Haywood's work, maybe a distant cousin of his.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
The location for all this, and because blaming everything on witchcraft, I mean, maybe it is, but it reminded me of Boudica, like way back in like the Roman days. there's a whole story about Boudica and like the the rebellion against the Romans who were trying to go into England for whatever, to take over shit. And there were a series of like really horrific uprisings because the Romans did some pretty fucked up shit. And so the natives kind of retaliated in kind. So there was a lot of horrific murders of like everyone on all sides. And it kind of culminated with the final battle where Boudicca and her army lost somewhere around central England, somewhere around Coventry, which is like around the general area where this is taking place of the story that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And when I say general area, I mean like, I don't know, of like 10, 20, 30 miles. So like really rough ballpark, but like, I guess it's in the general area.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. And this happened like 2000, probably 2,500 years ago, something like that. So I don't know. Maybe that has something to do with it. Maybe there's a bunch of lingering, angry spirits fucking with people.
Well, let's talk about some theories then. So it's speculated that the reason why the police won't reveal this is that Charles is related to Antenna, and he was the little boy in the late 1800s that saw the black dog.
Mm-hmm.
When Antenna was killed. Now, I think that there's a strong possibility of that. And I think that him being related to her and seeing that black dog, supposedly, was just kind of a bad omen for him in the eyes of the other villagers. And they just waited for their time to, you know, kill him. Or something got passed down, rumors, whatever. Right. And somebody was just like, all right, well, let's kill him. So that's where I think that he was potentially, even maybe Alfred Potter had some kind of heard the rumor of a boy named Charles Walton related to Ann Tennant. And Ann Tennant was a witch, so that's why they did it. Or. Yeah. There's one speculation that I think is interesting, is that some people believe that he was not the witch, but everybody else there was the witch, were witches and he, or druids of some kind of pagan magic or whatever people believed back in that day. And that they used Charles Walton as a sacrifice and that they covered it up by making it look like a witch murder. And that's part of the reason why when the chief inspector would go in places, everybody would just avoid him. Everybody's in on it. Like it's like the lottery, except for like, more gruesome, not stoning, getting stabbed through the fucking neck.
That's a more interesting version, I think.
Yeah. It's like their version of Midsummer.
Yeah. And then another one was that he was killed by one of these supernatural beings, probably hooted to death.
Hooted to death, yes.
Come on down to Hooters, get hooted to death.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Wait, hold on. This is a town, so it can't be like some crazy cult, like what happened with Midsommar.
No, it could still be a cult. You've seen the lottery.
Well, the Hooter cult.
When you read the lottery, not seen it, but you know the story of the lottery. It's like an entire fucking town.
Yeah.
The cult of the Hooter.
Yeah, it's well,
I was also thinking of that.
Praise the Hooter.
The Hoot did
Jesus
it.
Jesus Christ.
The one Hooter.
What was that? Simon.
There's Pegg. A giant.
What's the Simon Pegg movie where he moves to like a small town?
Hot Fuzz. Yeah, it could be like a Hot Fuzz situation.
Yeah. Fucking good movie.
That's a good movie, but
I cut out. Sorry, I didn't hear anything you guys said.
Yeah, no, we're just talking movies.
Better.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Caitlin, what's your idea?
Well, I mean, the whole Occam's razor thing says that the most likely answer is probably the first one, but I like your second theory. That's only like the Hollywood version for sure.
Yeah.
I don't think it's I don't think it's supernatural because of the carving, the cross carving. That sounds mm-hmm. like human to me, sacrificial mm-hmm. in some way. So, yeah.
What if, this is another theory that just popped in my brain, what if it's true that Alfred Potter did murder him? Because Alfred Potter, according to what I read, like they never had enough proof against him. And so he was not guilty. But what if he did do it in order to cover it up and just kind of muddy the waters? He emulated a famous case from the town, the murder of Ann Tennant.
Yeah, copycat thing.
Yeah, copycat, just to throw him off his trail.
Or he was the only, like, maybe like he was possessed or a witch or a warlock or whatever you want to call it, and not necessarily all the other people in the town were.
Yeah, and he did the sacrifice.
Right.
That's a possibility.
I don't know. There's so much speculation that you can do with shit like this just because there's no proof about anything.
Yeah, definitively. Exactly. It's an old tale. It's probably been through the ringer of a game of telephone and stuff. Yeah. But, you know, this is like the BBC kind of reported on it. So I was like, okay, there's some meat to it. But it doesn't mean they're right.
I feel like, especially in the time period, witchcraft was more like, I feel like people were doing things on a spiritual level that were way, way different than what we would consider mainstream now, right?
Yeah.
So, like, I feel like witchcraft is definitely, it wouldn't surprise me at all if it was going on in the town, right?
Yeah.
Just like, which side was it?
Yeah.
Or fuck, maybe everybody was. And they were all just blaming each other and, like, you know, who can kill who first.
Yeah. Well, this is, like 1945? This was the same time when, I'm blanking on his name. The dude who started Wicca, he was doing all of his shit.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Gerald Gardner.
The nudist. Gardner.
Yes, the nudist. Yeah.
I remember him as the nudie man.
Maybe this guy brought up the idea of a nudist colony, and that's why he got murdered. They're just like, this is a terrible fucking idea. What are you talking about? You need to repent for your sins, dude.
That's why they murdered him. Like Alfred Potter went out to the furs, and he's just like, why is this guy like showing 75-year-old dong at me? And then he murdered him, then put his clothes back on because he didn't want to look at the dong anymore. And you know, it was uncircumcised, so it looks like a little anteater.
Yes, exactly. Like an anteater.
Yeah. Hey, we don't know. Charles Walton could have had, you know, a baby arm anteater just swinging around, and it just made Alfred feel really uncomfortable. It was never about the money.
Very plausible.
It's about seeing dick.
Yes.
That was the length he needed to go to prove to himself that he wasn't gay.
He wasn't gay. Oh, it was just like pin up fucking. Like if you're in the middle of this small field that has that still believes in witchcraft, like stereotypical witchcraft from 1945, you can't come out as gay in that town. Yeah, that would just not go over well.
No.
They would fucking kill him. They would fucking kill him.
It's like that John Mulaney bit. I'm gay, I have AIDS, I'm new in town, and I'm a witch.
Oh, that would be just too much for a small town to handle.
It's too progressive for them.
Yeah, way too progressive. Wonder how that town's doing these days.
I wonder if there are any descendants of any of those people.
No.
Hanging out.
I'm sure there is. Yeah. Andy, you got good energy. Give us some thoughts.
Yeah, I'm going to have to be honest. Once I started down the Doomsday Diner Bob's Burgers idea, I didn't stop developing. I was just in my own world. And so I was kind of popping in and out of it. And now there's like hellhounds in my diner and I don't know how to get them out. And, I was listening to your story and it was like blending with my internal story. And, you know, now I have this weird fucked up thing going on and I don't know what to do. I need like the Ghostbusters or something. I feel like I'm in an H.P. Lovecraft movie and it's uncomfortable. And they're touching me, Huntley.
They're touching you. Okay.
I left for 8 hours today. I don't know what the fuck happened.
Did you do any other drugs today?
Nope.
I think you might have found some hits of acid or something.
I ain't it either, guys. It's all good in the hood. Don't worry.
You just need to focus. And write a book on this right now.
The three of us will just carry on the show to end it, and then we'll carry on into the premium program.
I'm a little worried.
And you just randomly interject your just thoughts in between there.
Everything is great. It's totally fine.
So I guess we'll wrap that show up. And if you haven't checked out our premium program, you can hear more of Andy's weird diner story.
You're welcome.
And
weird shit.
Yeah. Well, but we're on every podcast platform of choice. So check it out and come to highkind.com for more episodes, show notes, and all the other shit. So, yeah. Have a good night.
Bye.
You're not supposed to say bye, Dallas.
I know.